This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab. This is where all the data gets crunched, all the numbers get worked over, so you don't have to work at any math. You can just enjoy the results that scientific methods are going to give you at better analyzing fantasy football data. And again, we do all the hard work for you, so you just need to pay attention here on the Data Lab on For Frequency's Sake. And joining me, as he does each and every week here on the Data Lab, it's the professor, John Bush. John, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis. I'm deep in the data cave here, you know, next to the bat cave. I have the data cave and, hanging out, generating data for all the minions that pay attention to us and listen to our podcast. So we got plenty of early Christmas presents for week 10.
And here's the thing. We could utilize our time to our maximum benefit, and we could be whining about blue check marks or chugging beers for record times on a video podcast, but instead we dig through fantasy football data to hopefully win you more money. And along the same way, we're going to win ourselves money. And I'll tell you, we've been talking efficiency data, Professor, and you pointed out to us last week the difference of the home and away splits. Yep. And when we examined that data and I saw the patterns sitting there, and then I did a little more analysis on the side, I was pretty sure that the Lions were going to upset the Packers at home, and I stuck my neck out on the morning radio show making that pick. It did get a chuckle from the guy I was handicapping with, Mike Potts from Heartland Ford in Covington, Indiana. You ever need a Ford, go to Heartland Ford. But on Monday, he had to say, Dennis, how did you see that one coming? And I said, it was all about the professor's data. This data does not lie, Professor. If you know how to analyze it, you know how to take advantage of it. It can help you in fantasy football, but it can also help you in handicapping football games as well.
Yeah, and just make sure your car dealer don't tell him that Ford stands for found on the road dead. I remember my dad did not like Fords. He was a Chevy man. You know, back in the old days, you were Ford or you were Chevy. You know, we didn't have all the other brands. People don't remember. I mean, yeah, there were Cadillacs, but that was for the folks on Rich Folk Hill. But us poor folk, it was a Chevy or a Ford back in the 60s now. So, you know, I'm bringing back old memories, Dennis.
And my dad
hated Fords. Loved Chevy.
My dad figured he had it made.
Uh-oh.
When he could finally afford an Oldsmobile or a Buick.
Ooh. Hey, times were good in your family.
That's when he knew he had it going, man. Up until that, it was a very old Dodge that barely got us from point A to point B.
That sounds, yeah, we had a Ford Falcon.
Oh, it was okay. Yeah.
Yeah, back in 64. I remember as a little kid, and we'd have to get a running start to go up a bridge because it would stall out if the bridge was too steep. So, you know, we had to kind of cross our fingers and, you know, put the sails out to ease us over the apex of the bridge there.
But we survived
in those, you know, good old days, you know, as Monty Python said it in their sketch of the gentleman sketch. They sit around talking about how tough times were. I don't know if you've seen that sketch, but I recommend all our family, they were comparing how hard their childhoods were, and it started out and it got super ridiculous, as Monty Python would do. And it's a great sketch. Please go check it out. But anyway, efficiency is something that, to me, reaches across multiple data streams. And I want something beyond a guess, a hope, a wish. I want to look at the data. And then I guess I can hope and will. Well, I hope this data's right. But the data is the data. I don't fudge the data. I don't make it up to fit what I want to happen this week. And sometimes, you know, I'm not going to be happy that, oh boy, that's sad. My main player that I'm dependent on to win is not looking good because the team's not looking good, et cetera. I can't help that. But I would rather know it's coming, like Detroit. And this week, Detroit is playing away, playing Chicago, which is kind of on the upswing in efficiency. They're pretty much right out of the top six. They're number eight in efficiency. They've been going up. Everybody's talking about Fields, but Arizona, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Dallas, New England, and Denver, followed by Miami and Chicago, have been doing fairly well in efficiency in the last Denver's been a little weak in the last 3 weeks, but Chicago's coming on, Dennis, and, you know, we'll see if Fields can make that happen. It's intriguing to me. I'm rooting. I don't have much Fields. Okay, I know you and I think we drafted him one of our best ball teams that we co-have, but there's other players out there. Arizona's number one in the last 3 weeks. That is quite interesting as well. D-Hop has really turned the trick there. And Philadelphia's coming on. Minnesota, again, Dallas. And New England's coming on even a little bit. So, anyway, those are the good – that's the good news this week.
Yeah, and those are the ways that I really like using this efficiency data because I relate it to horse race handicapping. And especially in harness racing, a horse tended to round into form. So once they would show a little more efficiency, maybe they just flash a fast quarter time at you, and all of a sudden you were like, ooh, this horse had something going at the end of this race. This is the first time he's been showing signs of life. Keep an eye on him. And the same thing with your efficiency data. When I see teams rising, when I see teams falling, that's a reason to get on some of those players as flex players and get off of some of those guys as flex players. And it's also maybe a time that I'm looking to improve my team. Maybe I go ahead and I trade the Sun God while before he has a real big downtrend here. He's just trending down a little. But maybe this is the time that you try to benefit before the value drops anymore. I'm not usually big into doing that, but sometimes in redraft, you're in a situation because of injuries. Hey, I need a tight end or I need a running back, and I've got more wide receivers than I know who to play. Maybe I'll take one of my starters, like a Sun God, make the trade because there's been some inconsistency, and keep the Waddles and the, you know, the other guys that I have that have been a little bit more consistent over time. But that's how I like to use this efficiency data. And, you know, we're both just getting used to this and how to use it. We'll spot more of these trends as time goes on.
Yeah, and I'll be I'll be putting this into context that, you know, off season, looking at things like the defenses these teams played, you know, in kind of a background of efficiency. And there's other things to look at as well. And this week, the teams I'm concerned about, not like I'm going to knee-jerk anything. People somehow, well, do you use the data to jump on? When I do that, I want to make sure I'm getting multiple data telling me there's issues. And so I'm not as all or none as, you know, some of the people that are getting burned by fantasy receipts. And no, we are not fantasy receipts, regardless of what people may suspect. Not that I wouldn't love to do it. I just don't have time, but it does amuse me. But this, so I don't just knee jerk, but I will say this week I am concerned for the Jets, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Detroit, of course. So they're going down efficiency and they're playing away. Kansas City has had a rough 3 weeks compared to overall. And then Tampa Bay, I think that's pretty obvious. They're struggling down there. I think Brady kind of did the comeback, but you wonder, you know, how many rabbits are in the hat? You know, if you grew up watching Bullwinkle, you never quite knew what he was going to pull out of the hat. And I was just worried that how long can Brady keep pulling something out of the hat? I just don't know. I know Leonard Fournette was mad down there about the rookie starting to bite into his time. You know, that's never good when you hear when that kind of thing comes out. Usually, you know, the agents and other things are floating these kind of things out for purposes that we may not even be aware of. So I'm just measuring these data, the efficiency, and this will be in my snap report trying to come out Friday at scienceoffantasyfootball.com. So you can dig into this and look and, you know, but it's a great tiebreaker and a flex starter, you know, kind of a Ouija board kind of thing. But it's not all or none, folks. Nothing is all or none, okay? And it's you know, outcomes and possibilities and probabilities. You know, if we knew exactly what was going to happen, we'd be at, Dennis and I would be at the Vegas owning a casino. So we don't know.
But when you see a team like Kansas City throw the ball 68 times and only score in the 20s.
That's not good.
That is not a good sign. And this efficiency data has caught up on that trend over the last 3 weeks, that they're struggling to really move the ball consistently now. At the same time, they're able to play a little tougher on defense, so they're in these games, and then they can pull them out when they need to. But when you keep going back into that bag of tricks to win a tough game after tough game after tough game, it really builds up. And what we're looking for is in fantasy football, can we see a blemish starting to form? No, we're not going to bench Patrick Mahomes, we're not going to go so gung-ho of playing as many of the other pieces on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Juju worries me a little bit. Certainly, Kelsey, you got to play Kelsey. You just got to.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to see is Kadarius Toney gets more snaps each and every week.
We'll see that, yeah.
We're going to see whether he is affecting Mecole Hardman, who's been on a really good run the last 4 or 5 weeks, or whether he affects Juju, or whether they all three start having an effect on Kelsey, or does the defense just finally say, we got to stop Kelsey, and that opens up things for others. It's a very complicated offense, and there's a lot of mouths to feed. You want to keep playing your main mouths in Mahomes and Kelsey, but maybe you start trending away from using Juju as a starting wide receiver if you can afford a better option, because he might be getting ready to throw you a weaker week.
Yeah, and I pulled up the snap, Dennis, because I know you're a big Kansas City fan, and Solaire has really been on a downside, and notice you're – Pacheco's moving up, but look at McKinnon last week. 62 snaps. And
yeah.
I just don't know if he, but yet scoring wise, and I have another metric, player scoring, he's worse than Pacheco and Solaire. So he's getting lots of activity. So if I'm the coach, I'm giving this, he's not returning his value. Whereas Solaire has been, of course, this is over season, and Pacheco, with his limited time, as you know, last couple weeks has moved up in the 20s to snap. So to me, I could see him moving forward, you know, and again, it may not be this year. and in Dynasty, you know, you might be able to collect him with not as much, you know, if he, let's just say he balls out 17 or, you know, week 17, 18, you're going to have a hard time getting him in Dynasty. So, you know, take a look at him. I'm, you know, and I'm not a big Dynasty fan, but this would be, this is how I would interpret this snap stuff here. And if you're concerned about Kelce, he's passed his bye, and some of those weaker replacements that you hang on, I'm actually moving to Noah Gray in a few of my deeper, but just to have him stashed on my Kelce. Just, you know, I don't want playoffs and Kelce has a, you know, is hurt for a week. I don't want to be sitting there with, you know, not even a bird in the hand, but some bird poop in the hand. And so I'm warning folks now to start looking at this snap data and thinking beyond what is just there. You know, extend this out. I mean, because that's what data is supposed to do, is give us some trajectories. And that's where you use kind of the art and the thinking a little bit. Because if you're always reacting, you're 1 week late.
And yeah, that's fantasy. Absolutely great advice. And in particular with the Chiefs, we're going to see more of McKinnon, but we're not going to see fantasy football points because he's on that field to give a little bit of a security to Mahomes in the pocket. He will line up in that backfield. He will take out one of the blitzing backs and give Mahomes an option. If he lines up on the right side, look at Mahomes to escape to the left in that pocket. If he lines up to the left side, Mahomes is rolling to the right. He gives Mahomes an out to get away from the max pressure, but he's not going to be a fantasy football option. But now that the Chiefs are going up against a worse rushing defense in the Jaguars this week, I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bump by Pacheco this week. So,
you know, I'm looking forward to that, but I'm just giving the Chiefs, because I know you love them, and that's great. I'm a Saints fan, but, you know, we're back to the Aints, I think. But anyway, I was just trying to illustrate some aspects of the snap stuff to consider in this report here. It's not static. You use this to imagine those next few weeks and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think that's a great strategy. And we've seen Noah Gray make some good plays. And you're right. Once you get past a team's bye week, that's when I want to make sure I got the handcuff if I've got a stud running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire does not qualify as a stud running back to me. So I'm not worried about the handcuff to him. Although I might take a flyer on Pacheco and say, hey, if he develops into something down the stretch, I can have an improved player. But I love that idea of grabbing Noah Gray as your second tight end. He's shown some ability, and if something happened to Kelce, Noah Gray would be right into that same slot to play that same role. Would he play it as good as Kelce? No, but he'd probably play it better than about 70% of the tight ends you could get available on waivers.
Yeah, and so that's how I use the snap beyond just looking at last week and trying to replicate it this week. And I've seen that a lot. Some of the Twitter, shall we call them Twitter fools, will talk about last week, and, well, he's on a tear. It's his season. 1 week and it's his season? That's just, it's crazy talk. So,
yeah, never chase points in fantasy football. No. You'll never catch them. Chase volume. Yes. And one of the best ways to chase volume is to chase snaps. If you know who's on the field, you've got a chance of earning those fantasy football points. And one of the best places you can go is the scienceoffantasyfootball.com. Check out the snaps report. Check out the efficiency data within the snaps report and make yourself a smarter fantasy football player. And of course, hustle on back here to For Frequency Sake next week for another edition of the Data Lab.
Get to work, folks.